competitiveness. Production is collapsing, deindustrialization is coming, and this will have very, very deplorable consequences for the European continent over probably at least the next 10 to 20 years. He emphasized that in the past there was a mutual balance as Russia was interested in buyers of its energy resources as much as they were interested in Russia. However, Peskov argued the EU started to repeat like a mantra that it had to rid itself of its dependency on Russian energy, and this eventually resulted in the current situation. The Americans are selling gas at prices that are three or even four times higher than Russian gas, Peskov said, adding that the Europeans are making their economy less competitive as they pay such money to US suppliers. Gas prices in Europe surged earlier this year in the wake of Russia-Ukraine crisis after the EU and Western countries outside the bloc imposed sweeping sanctions on Moscow and began a campaign of cutting themselves off from Russian energy supplies. Gas prices hit record highs, leading to a rise in overall inflation on the continent. Earlier this week, Belgian Prime Minister Alexandre de Croo warned that the continent might soon face a significant reduction in industrial activity and social unrest if nothing is done to lower energy prices. Reuters, meanwhile, reported that the US is now delivering more natural gas to the EU than Russia for the first time in history, but that American gas was 10 times more expensive than Russian supplies.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear mothers, lovely sisters, and kind sisters, all ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. You are listening to us from IRB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host, and here I have a dear guest, Sister Zainab. She's going to help us through some interesting stuff for Muslim Lady.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Asma. Thank you so much for having me. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope I could really get some very good stuff for Muslim lady.
Yes, I'm pretty much sure of that. As you all know, being a human means that we have to reach a pinnacle, and that highest point is going to be our salvation.
True.
According to the Holy Book of Quran, we have been asked to go through the perfect models.
Yeah.
Actually, what we are going to share in this program is just something that we've been through our studies. And now we're just going to have some kind sharing of this information with the audience.
Definitely.
And of course, you're going to help us with that. This road to salvation is going to have some steps. Now, the perfect models are, of course, the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family.
Definitely.
And of course, since we're talking about Muslim lady, it's going to be his daughter.
Yeah.
That is Lady Fatima.
Salaam alayha.
So, maybe there are some very much easy things that we should not consider as very much drastic, but they still might have some importance in our life, but we're not noticing them. And it starts with eating. So I would like you to talk upon that fact.
All right. Well, when we consider a Muslim lady mm-hmm. and the fact of food eating, it goes back to a female because she is the one who has to start preparing it to the time she serves it, to the time she feeds herself and her family.
Of course, in an Islamic way of life.
Yeah, definitely. Because we're here to discuss today Islamic way of life. And in Islamic way of life, we have individualistic ways. And how do you live your social life?
Mm-hmm.
And as you rightly mentioned that in a holy book of Quran, in Surah Ahzab, probably that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the name, the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a good exemplar for you. So definitely in this program today, I'll be giving you examples from him himself mm-hmm. and the definitely because he was the teacher of
Sayyidat Fatima
Zahra, salam alayha, the direct teacher, the direct practical teachings she saw, and she is the role model of Muslim ladies.
Lady, of course.
So coming back to food, food is, or eating, or whatever, because food is essential for survival. So Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, would make a dua. He would go for a supplication first, and when he would take bread in his hand, he would say, "Oh Allah, send us blessings with this bread. Do not bring about separation in between us and this bread. For if we don't have it, we won't be able to carry out worship." It's a very, very important message for ladies who are preparing food, who get into the kitchen. The first thing is that, with what intention do you enter the kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Now, it might sound very much trivial, but it actually has so much of effect.
Why? Because in all our actions, as per Islam, are divided into five categories. It's obligatory, your actions are recommended, your actions are forbidden, or there are some actions which have neutral effect. So there are, you know, these categories. When you have to avoid five things, you are recommended of five things. So as per these jurisprudence rulings, cooking food or like serving food or like making food is a neutral thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mubah. You don't get any rewards for it. You are not committing any sin while you're actually preparing the food.
Of course,
but
yeah.
When you enter your kitchen with the intention that, "Oh Allah, I'm entering my kitchen to feed my family so that we will be able to carry out worship in a better way," it is something, your neutral thing, the thing that has no reward so far, which was mubah mm-hmm. as per the jurisprudence rulings, gets converted into a recommended thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have in so many places in narrations that a believer is intellectual. So an intellectual believer is this. If you are a Muslim lady, you enter kitchen with this intention, "Oh Allah, I'm cooking food for my family so that they get energy to carry out worship." Now coming to the things what they would do. There are certain things that the prophetic family would take care of, especially in terms of eating habits, which was, they would make sure the food they're eating is halal.
Mm-hmm.
That does not contain intoxicants. Because everything that intoxicates you is haram. Is already considered as haram in Islam. So they would
Which is forbidden.
Yeah, which is forbidden. Now there's a lot of things. For example, there are your kids who would like force you to buy the drinks, the soft drinks or the cold drinks. But you know, there are certain people, I have known a lot of people who with these cold drinks feel a little, you know, intoxicated. They get a light off. They don't feel very good. So everything mm-hmm. that intoxicates you, every drink rather that intoxicates your body, is forbidden for you. So the first thing they would really, really look upon was being halal. That was in terms of food. And then another thing was they would make it as simple as possible.
So now before we get into this point, let's go for a short break and I'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners. Don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, ladies, to your program. Well, in here, we're discussing some interesting point from the book that our dear guest is talking about right now. Zainab, shall you please talk a bit about the book that you're discussing?
Well, it was a few years ago I went through this book and it was so interesting. The name of the book is Etiquette and Lifestyle of Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, written by Dr. Muhammad Reza Jabari. And it's really, really interesting book. Mm-hmm. And it becomes more interesting when you see all those things practically in a role model. Mm-hmm. So, I'm discussing all my points from the book. And we're talking about eating etiquettes they had.
Yeah, the first point is eating.
Yeah, the first individualistic way of life is eating habits. And in those eating habits, we discussed that the first thing they would very much stress upon was being halal. The food should have been halal. Then another thing was it should look as simple as possible and avoid the demand of particular or luxurious kinds of foods. Now there's a question. Does that mean Islam is stopping us from eating luxurious foods? No. Islam is telling us don't do that every day. Mm-hmm. Don't just eat one kind of food every day. You have just avoid having stress on. Like we have so many kids.
Don't feel the pressure.
Especially it's in our kids. You know, we have kids who are in the dining table and they see something simple. Make them used to simple foods. They are like, why you cook this? I'm not going to eat this.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat some particular things. So for example, some people are used to eat meat. And I was doing a research about this, that Islam told you to avoid demanding luxurious kinds of foods every day. There's nutritionist from Stanford University of Medicine, namely Joanne Hatner, who says that eating one type of food leads to organ failure. Imagine. Uh-huh. We have been taught this very, very early in our Islamic teachings. Be it simple, have variety. Don't eat one kind of luxurious food. Because even if you're eating meat every day, it will do something with your body that your cells will start eating up your muscles.
Oh.
These are all research done there. And I mentioned the nutritionist. I mentioned the university. You can go back to the internet and search and see how one kind of food leads to organ failure.
Even if it's luxurious or expensive.
Because people try to, you know, go for one kind of food and it's luxurious. It should be luxurious. Because there are some families, some rich families, who would not eat food without having meat. But do you know it will eat up your muscles one day?
Yeah, of course. And eating meat all alone is going to lead to too much of a disease.
Yeah. So coming to next point, the food they stressed upon was healthy foods and hygienic foods. Mm-hmm. The cleanliness of the food was very, very important because once the food is clean, you're not going to have diseases.
So aside from being halal, it must be pretty much clean.
Clean and healthy as well, you know, not like you start making all fried kind of things all the time, eating a lot of sugar that like damages your body. So they would definitely take care of healthy and hygienic food.
And the mother is the one who is providing
exactly.
all that.
Exactly. I'm just discussing all these points, especially as a daughter, you have to take care of all of them. As a mother, you have to take care of all of them. And as a wife, you have to take care of all
course.
Of them. And then
because the women are the center of the family.
Exactly. And women love to be attractive. And another point that I'm going to discuss is that eating when you're hungry and as per your body need, which many people do not do. They start eating wherever they find food, whether they are hungry or they are not, whether their body needs or whether their body does not need. But this is not the prophetic way of life, or this is not the way of life of Lady Zahra Salam Laya. They would eat when they would be hungry, and they would only need as per the body needs. Once we start, doing this, once we start eating beyond limits, actually, we damage our body looks, which is not good for a female.
Yeah, yeah. And then you will regret that. And then you have to go through too much of exercise to change
that. Well, as Islam is telling you, the better way of life is eat only the moment you're hungry and eat only the amount of food your body needs. Don't go beyond that. Others.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we are so much into social media stuff. We are so much into our mobile phones. We forget that our family is calling us on the dining tables, or we tell them, I'm just busy with something. Even if you're busy with some very nonsense stuff, you will tell your family, I'll eat later. Eating later and alone is not Islamic way of life.
We're not recommended.
Eating
to
with
do that.
Others
yeah.
has got different kind of blessings. It has got different kind of, so many things with it that we can't even imagine.
It'll be more pleasurable, actually.
Definitely. Then very, very important is to start and end your eating things with His name. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, I suggest the mothers listening to us. I suggest the sisters, the daughters, the wives listening to us. Start that not only when you start eating food, start that in the kitchen you enter.
Yeah,
while
from
preparing.
When you're cooking.
When you start with His name, definitely it's going to get some that different spiritual taste in it.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something in the food that was going to damage your body, but with this blessings that you get with His name.
And that will get into the flesh of your children and your
exactly.
family.
Exactly. And then you have some spiritual things into the flesh of your children. We have narrations that fire is forbidden for them. The fire of hell is forbidden for them. So they used to avoid drinking directly from the plate. Do you see sometimes we have these soups and all and we try to eat up directly them from the plate?
Yeah.
No, use spoon or something. Like, try to be humanic. You're not an animal that you go to the plate and you start directly eating with your mouth.
Yeah.
So, and they would avoid blowing directly into the food. For example, what we do sometimes when the food is very, very hot. So we start blowing up, they would avoid this thing.
And even scientific methods have shown that, it's been proved actually scientifically, that doing that to the food, blowing into the food, is going to make it sort
toxic. Yeah.
So thank you. It was actually so much of information for me and for the audience. We are talking about the Islamic way of life according to Sayyida Fatima, salamullah alayha, and we still have too much of things to talk about, maybe in other episodes. Thank you for staying tuned and thank you for listening to us. I wish you blessings. May Allah shower you with His blessings. Thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. For more information, you can visit parsoday.com. And that's it. Thank you.
I know I'm waiting. Waiting for something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the eve of the blessed birthday anniversary of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, here is an interesting statement from him on the position of parents in Islam. One who follows the orders of Allah with regards to obeying parents shall have two doors of paradise opened up for him.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up the crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah.
Dear brothers and sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you on the Week of Unity. That is a special week for all Muslims all around the globe. This week is entitled The Week of Unity by the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Today, Thursday, is the 16th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter and fall, verse 63 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ
And brought together their hearts. If you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this part, we look at the point of this verse of Chapter and Fall, the Prophet of Islam strove against social prejudices. According to the Prophet of Islam, trampling the rights of others disrupts peace and security, resulting in hatred and discord. Even in the statements of his last days, the Prophet warned the Ummah against discord, saying, O people, your blood and properties are forbidden for each other. Be aware that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, and Muslims are brethren to each other.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
On the Week of Unity, we look at the importance of unity in the world of Islam. And today is special. Muslims should get together and strive in the cause of Allah, who says in the Holy Quran, and the believers, men and women, are protecting friends one of another. They enjoin the right and forbid the wrong, and they establish worship and they pay the poor due, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. As for these, Allah will have mercy on them. Lo, Allah is mighty, wise. You can find this ayah in chapter At-Tawbah, chapter 9 of the Holy Quran, verse 71. One form of unity is to respond to the present situation of our Palestinian brothers and sisters, with whom all Muslims should express feelings of solidarity. All Muslims should do whatever is in their capacity to help the Palestinian brothers and sisters, helping and supporting fellow Muslims who are persecuted and prejudiced against is a prerequisite of a sound faith. Muslims should first help and support their fellow Muslims physically if they are able to do so. Muslims should defend them by all available means. They should fight along with them to ward off any aggression against their soul's honor, and so on.
Sheikh Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, actually, we are going to talk about the role of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the 14 infallibles, I mean the A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam, in establishing wahda and unity among Muslim ummah. When the people of Medina, Mecca, Kufa, and the other people, Muslims, when they come to Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salatu wassalam to accept the formal or the official kind of caliphate, though he was khalifa, he was the imam, but when they came to, and they referred to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam to accept khilafah, since Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam, who he actually fully was aware of this, that if he did not accept the khilafah and the caliphate at that time, then the Muslim ummah might be in more kind of disagreement or differences or let's say ikhtilaf, disorders, disagreements among themselves. So then the differences will increase among the Muslim ummah. So that's why it will weaken Islam. And that's why he accept. But before that, he didn't try to get khilafah, official khilafah, because of this, that these kind of differences among Muslims might weaken actually Muslims and Islamic ummah. So that's, and generally the Islam. So that's why for more than 20 years, he actually kept silent and stayed away of this position of Khilafah. But after that, when the people referred to him and actually asked him to accept this Khilafah, he accepted. Because of what? Because of this greatness of Islam and empower, actually the strengthness of Islam, he accepted. So he tried his best to keep, to preserve this wahda and unity among Muslims. When it comes to the other a'imma alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam al-Hadi, Imam al-Hassan al-Askari, salawatullahi alayhim ajma'in, all of these imams tried to keep and to preserve unity among Muslim ummah. And this is what they did their best to unite Muslim ummah. Like Imam Hussein alayhi wasallam, he tried his best to guide the people, to teach the people the true teachings of Islam, the true lessons of Islam. And he tried his best to guide Yazid into the right path, to guide the followers of Yazid into the right path. And he tried his best to prevent Muslim Ummah from any kind of civil war or battles. But finally, they did not listen to the Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. That's why while he was by his children, by his very close relatives only in Karbala, he was martyred in that severely kind of way by the Yazid and Umar al-Sa'd and the other people. So, but it shows that Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam and Imam Hassan alayhi wasalam tried their best, and the other a'imma alayhi wasalam tried their best to preserve this wahda and unity among Muslims.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
I have a question. What can Muslims learn from Malcolm X? Malcolm X had a falling out with the Nation of Islam and then started his deeper spiritual journey that changed his life forever when he went for Hajj. While performing the Hajj rituals, he observed something amazing. He discovered the real equality of men, of all races and ethnicities, and all social statuses. He witnesses millions of Muslims wearing the same thing, doing the same things, and observing the one and only Allah Almighty in unison. No one can tell who is rich or poor based on their clothes. No one had a work uniform on to show they were a janitor or a CEO of a corporation. Everyone was at the same level. Malcolm X later changed his name after accepting mainstream Islam to Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabbaz, which symbolized his journey from darkness to light after understanding the true message of Islam and unity amongst mankind. With today's special from IRIB English Radio. Do not call anyone a kafir. What's that? It's from the things any Muslim can personally do to help foster Islamic unity. This horrible phenomenon, I mean, calling someone a kafir and calling fellow believers kafirs must end if we want to create a climate that is conducive to unity. Kafir calling is a sure way to isolate individuals from the Muslim community. We must remember that Muslims come from all cultures and socio-economic backgrounds, whether they were born and raised in the faith and reverted to it. If a person is expressing ideas that are not in line with Islamic values, she or he must be gently corrected. Kafir calling will only fuel their ignorance, anger, and stubbornness, not to mention humiliate and embarrass them. The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny warned that if one person calls another kafir, and the person called that isn't one, the individual who made the accusation is a kafir.
Heartfelt congratulations for the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the week of unity. So it's such a great gift that we should day and night work for getting it, to take it, and we should never take it for granted. If you live in a society where believers are united, Sunni, Shia are acting as brothers and sisters, they love each other, they respect each other, they collaborate, you must be very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do whatever you can to maintain and strengthen this. But if, God forbids, you live in a society in which Muslim community is divided, you should know that this society is not under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's unifying force, unifying power, unifying guidance. And we need to go back closely to a condition where we can be under His unifying care, unifying power. Everyone has to work hard for establishing unity if they want to act as Allah wants and not act as Fir'aun.
That was all for today's episode of today's special about unity. Inshallah, we follow this interesting topic. So, till then, till another time we meet each other, we leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
Mustafa. أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.